The series, I am kind of doing a series. The first sermon that I did in the series was titled Right Spirit, and last Sunday, Renew Spirit, and today is the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit. And the main text is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, you know, fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law, and the church said, amen. You know, 2020, well, you know, I thought 2020 was supposed to be clear, you know, and 2020 is, to me, a year of shaking. It's a shaking. And what happens to the believers when there's a shaking, it brings the issues, you know, the issues that we have to the surface. And so, you know, the past pain, hurt, unhealed rejection and abuse, strongholds, you know, that might have been hidden in your life, but 2020 is going to come to the surface. The shame and accusation, our family issues, our weaknesses will come to the surface. The devil takes what comes to the surface to steal, to lie to us, to destroy. But the Holy Spirit, right? And this is the good news. And the Holy Spirit wants to work in us to bring healing, to deliver us, and to redeem us. Right? You know, the Bible says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I was thinking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is related to healing, deliverance, and redemption. Right? Why do I say that? Say if you have hurt and emotional pain, right, from the past, how do you know that you are healed? Some of us think healing is I just feel better, I'm healed. Right? No. If you are truly healed, there will be love, peace, and joy in your heart. Right? That's true healing, not just feeling better. If you have spiritual bondage, if you have spiritual bondage in your life, how do you know that you're delivered and set free? It is not just that you feel better, you feel something lift off of you, right? If you're truly set free, if you are delivered, there will be joy and goodness in your life. That's how you know that you are set free. How do you know, this is, and the Bible gives us the answer. How do you know if you are a Christian? How do you know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? John chapter 15, verse 8. This is what it says. John chapter 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory. Right? To the Father's glory. You know, we're seeking the glory of God to be filled with His glory. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, to fill us with glory, the Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. And human beings take that fruit to mean, oh, you know, I made a lot of money, you know, my business, you know, I accomplished all these things. But I believe this fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what it's talking about. Okay? Not accomplishment. Okay? Not how hard you worked. That you will bear much fruit. Not human fruit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, showing yourself to be my disciple. What it means is that when the Holy Spirit works in your life, right, and you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you, over time, you start to love more. You start to be more joyful. So as a Christian, you know, you were joyful when you became Christian, and then 10 years later, you're all like angry and depressed. And no, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, there's more joy. Okay? There's more peace. There's more goodness. We become kinder. Okay? In the time of judgment in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about it. Many come to him thinking that they are the disciples. They are very strong and powerful disciples. But he shocks them by telling them, I never knew you. Wow. I never knew you. Because it was not about, you know, when we think about the Holy Spirit work in us, we think about manifestation, you know, gift of tongue, words of knowledge, prophetic words, seeing dreams and vision. It's not about the size of the ministry. It's not about charisma, being, you know, you're having this charismatic personality. It's not about position in the church. It's not about church attendance. It is about the Holy Spirit fruit in our life. The Holy Spirit fruit in our life. A disciple of Jesus bears much fruits. There's more and more love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This fruit shows that we are the disciple of Jesus. You know, Jesus modeled for us the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to because he's God, but he modeled for us. The Bible says Jesus made himself nothing when he incarnated as a human being. You know, Philippians chapter 2 says Jesus emptied himself when taking the very nature of a servant, taking the very nature of a human being, being made in human likeness. And we see Jesus chose to live as a human being on earth when he incarnated. And so when Jesus' ministry begins at his water baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in a bodily form like a dove, Luke chapter 3 says. You know, again, because Jesus is divine, he is God, he could have done all his ministry on his own divine power. Right? But Jesus chose to live as a human being, because that's why when he was born as a baby, he couldn't talk. God couldn't talk. If he wanted to, he could have, as a baby, had scared Joseph and Mary. You know? He could have walked as a baby if he wanted to. He could have flew, I believe, as a baby if he wanted to. But he chose to learn how to talk. He chose to learn how to walk. Because he emptied himself. And then he incarnated and became a human being. And chose to live as a human being. And that's why he shows us that when he's baptized, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And the Bible says in, you know, Luke chapter 4, after the temptation of Jesus, Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And we see as he begins this ministry, he's showing us this ministry with the Holy Spirit working in him as a, you know, he's 100% human being, 100% God, but he chose to do the ministry as a human being through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you see deliverance. You see him setting people free. You see the supernatural life. You see disciples being raised up. And we also see this in the book of Acts. We see in the New Testament church a model for all churches. That's why many pastors, they always go back to the book of Acts. Look at the New Testament church. We want to follow the New Testament church. And the emphasis in the book of Acts was the Holy Spirit. And that's why I preach on this passage again and again and again. That's why Catalyst, the theme verse for our church, is Acts 1:8, because that's the theme of Book of Acts. And the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will have you, and you, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? You know, but in the New Testament church, that doesn't mean there was no problems, you know. The apostles and disciples in the New Testament church went through conflict. There were difficulties, there was persecution. They had to work hard. They had to discipline themselves. They had to overcome sin. They had to watch out for false doctrine and lies. They had to go through spiritual battles. But from the beginning, New Testament church started by waiting for the Holy Spirit. New Testament church witnessed through the power of the Holy Spirit. They worshiped. They prayed. They loved each other. They did evangelism. And they did missions through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working through them. And that's why at Catalyst, we need to hunger for the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to come together and agree that we want to see the Holy Spirit work through us. You know, during the 2020 shaking, and it's the year of shaking. The church needs the work of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? I know, you know, some people are trying to be very positive, but I'm just being honest. Zoom meetings and Facebook Live, you know, virtual church has its limitations. You know, it has been. You know, and also meeting together in person with all the social distancing, you know. And I barely could see Eugene because of this plastic in front of me. There. You know. All of you have masks. You're all 6 feet or more apart. It has its limitation. And it has been 5 months. And it's been 5 months since all of us were able to get together. We haven't been able to get together yet. You know what church in Greek means? Gathering together. Gathering together. And there's still no vaccine. There seems to be no end in sight to some kind, you know, the end in sight for end, you know, the lockdown to lift anytime soon. You watch the news and everything is negative. People are worried about their livelihood. And as a nation, there's no clear voice or leadership to navigate through the pandemic and racism or the economic storm. So personally, like many, you know, I go through fatigue. I get frustrated. Yes, there's fear. I get angry. I get depressed. But Catalyst, as a church, we need to remember this. We need to remember this. The Holy Spirit moved through church history in the midst of difficult storms. The Holy Spirit moved through the church during the Roman persecution, through the Dark Ages, through past pandemics, through political upheavals, through economic depression, and through greatest demonic attacks. The Holy Spirit will move in us during the storm. The Holy Spirit will move in our heart, in our home, in our church, and in this nation. You know, Catalyst, let's believe together. The Holy Spirit movement in storm, not just in the storm, believe this together. The Holy Spirit will move in the midst of the storm, and not when just things are going well. You know, when we are comfortable, when we're feeling good, when there's material blessing, there's financial security, we have food, we have money, we have electricity. I know some of you, you know, the electricity went been out for the whole week. When we have water, we say, God is blessing us. God is with us. God is moving in us. But I'm calling the church not during good times. I'm calling the church to believe God will move in the midst of this 2020 shaking. Let's believe together as a church. You know, you are sick, and we have, you know, people in our church that are sick, family members that are sick. Let's believe. Holy Spirit will move in healing. You lost your job, there's financial hardship. The Holy Spirit will move in provision. You know, old childhood issues are coming to the surface. Holy Spirit will move in comforting us. In special revelations and restoration and healing. There's depression. Holy Spirit will move in joy. There's division, conflict, and racism. Holy Spirit will move in justice and love. You know, human beings don't know how to handle injustice. We just get angry and frustrated. But our God is able to balance love and justice. Holy Spirit will completely heal, deliver, and redeem. You know, even with as we see this pattern of dysfunction in our life. You know, what usually happens to us, humanly, we continue this pattern of dysfunction and we spread it to other people. Your division, you know, it's like, you know, at work, your manager is mean to you. So what do? We go home and we be mean to our family. You know, your wife is upset. So what happens? You get mad at your children, and your children get mad at each other. Your husband is closed off. So what? You get mad at your friends, and the friends take it out on someone else. But catalyst, Holy Spirit is here with us to stop and heal and set us free from the dysfunction that continues. With the Holy Spirit moving in us, sin has lost its power. Today I want to focus on one identity that you have in Christ. You know, it was related to the prayer that Heejong gave. I was kind of busy. And so when she read me the prayer, I think it went one ear to the other. But I was really listening to it today in the worship. And I felt like it was related to the conviction that God gave me. Today I want to focus on one identity that you have in Christ. And this is it. You are God's temple. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Right. What does that mean? You are God's dwelling place. Okay. You are God's dwelling place. Okay. Again, let's just be honest. You know, there's a lot of limitation, again, as a church, in Zoom, Facebook Live, in-person service with social distancing. And what is hard is we don't know, how long we have to go like this as a church. And the conviction I got preparing this sermon is this is the answer to the church. You are God's temple. You are God's dwelling place. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay? The Holy Spirit lives in you. See, the temple, when you look at the Old Testament, is the place that God dwell. It was a place of God's presence and the glory of God. Okay? When God's there, the glory fills the temple. When the temple was dedicated, the Bible says the glory of God filled the temple. Okay? The glory of God filled the temple. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, you are the temple and God dwells in you. Right? Not so that, you know, we think about the temple, we think about the ritual, we think about the performing of the sacrifice. No. The temple is there so the temple could be filled with the glory of God. Could be, so the temple, so that you will be filled with the glory of God. So in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha, you know. And I just was trying to picture what that was like. There were different guests and Mary and Martha's house, you know. And I believe the guests were talking about current events, you know, as they were eating snacks or drinking wine. And, you know, they were just talking about current events, the tyranny of the Roman soldiers, you know, who won the chariot race, you know, the past weekend, you know, how the fishing business was going, you know. I believe that's what they're talking about. And but you see, this is the picture that the Bible gives. Everyone was busy except Mary. Okay? Mary focused on Jesus who was in the house. Right? And this is, you know, significant because Mary didn't see Jesus outside of the house. Jesus wasn't up in heaven. See, here's what Mary realized. God is in the house. God is in the house. And I want to challenge you and me. Let's not be so busy that you forget that God's in the house. It's easy to forget. His disciples forgot. Martha forgot. She was just, you know, she even got upset with God in the house. You know? I have so much to do, God. This is what she said to God. Don't you care? Tell Mary to help me. And what God was told Martha is what he's telling us. There's one thing needed right now. One thing needed. Remember, I'm in the house. I dwell in you. I live in you. Moses, you know, God comes to Moses in a burning bush. God, you know, shows himself. God calls Moses to go to Egypt and set God's people free from slavery. And this is God. Okay? When he comes, he doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to crush you. Okay? This is what God tells Moses. You know, he came to deliver, set his people free. And I want to remind you, this is what God does. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to transform. He wants to restore. He wants to bless you. Okay? If he was just angry, he could have destroyed us thousands of years ago, all of us. He wants to bless you. And Moses, like many of us, you know, when we see God, you know, Moses was hesitant. He was afraid. He said, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? What if they ask me something and I don't have the answer? What if people don't like me?" This is what he was saying. What if people don't like me? What if people start to criticize me? So God tells Moses, okay, I will be with you. Okay, what is God telling Moses? You will be my temple. You will be my temple. I will be with you. And Moses couldn't understand. He didn't hear. You know, he went one ear out the other. And he tells God, "Lord, I have never been eloquent. I can't talk." And God responds, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or make him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? He says, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. What God was telling Moses, don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I will help you to speak. Not just give you the words. I will teach you. I will help you. I will work in you. What God was trying to convince Moses is this. You will be my temple. Okay? You will be my temple. And Moses responds, okay. Now, if you read Exodus 3, he goes, oh Lord, please send someone else. No, that's what he said. Please send someone else to do it. Huh? What he was kind of saying in Catalyst, this is what God is saying to us. Right? We don't want, and what and the wrong way to respond was Moses. He goes, what he was kind of saying is, you're dwelling in me, your presence, you're working through me. Me being the temple is not enough. It's not enough. And so what we're up against is pretty, you know, what Moses had to deal with at that time was all his past failures, his weakness, his fears, all his insecurities. And it prevented him from believing he could be a temple of God, where God dwells, where he will be the one, the glory of God will be released. You know, in Exodus 33, he encountered that. He saw the little bit of the glory of God and his face start shining, was glowing. But over time, you know, and I believe we're ready. It's time. Over Exodus 3, he didn't know how to be a temple. But Exodus 33, he knew how to be the temple. Over time, Moses learned to be a temple. And Catalyst, this is our time. I'm going to say that again. This is our time. Because what happens in Exodus 33, God says to Moses, it is time to go into the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. Can you imagine? God says, I'm not going to go with you, but I will send an angel before you. And he'll be a pretty powerful angel. And he's going to help you. And you know what Moses says? He learned how to be a temple. If your presence does not go with us, I'm not going. That's what he said. This whole nation's not going to go. I'm not going to go. We will not go. He became a temple. What he was saying is, it's not about angels, and I don't care how powerful the angel that you give to us. What he was saying, you know the promised land? I'm not afraid of the giants anymore. The walled cities don't intimidate me. I don't care about how I look anymore, or how I sound, or what I know, or what others think of me. He became a temple. He says, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. If you don't dwell in me, I'm not going. If I cease to be your temple, I'm not going. Moses, what he was saying, and this is what I want Catalyst to release from our heart. God, you are the most important person in my life. You are my creator. You're my savior. You're my Messiah, my Lord. You are my identity. You are my hope. My source of strength. You are my protection. You are the source of all my power. And what he was saying is, I hunger for your presence. Let your glory fill me. Let your glory fill me. So Catalyst, you know, the world around us is going crazy. You know, there are storms outside of us and within us. This shaking is bringing, you know, to the surface our fears, insecurity, sin, anger, the dysfunction. The devil wants to use this time to steal, destroy, and kill. But the good news, the Holy Spirit wants to move in you. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you, heal, deliver, and redeem you. So, church, like Moses, let's make ourselves a temple for God's glory to fill. God's glory to fill this temple. And the church said,